Well, welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO and the host of Money Life, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we get to answer some of the emails that have come into your inbox, and I'm looking forward to that. But before we get there, you know, it's the new year, and I don't know about you, but we go through the process every year of setting out resolutions for the year. And is that something that happens
absolutely
in the Bentley household?
Absolutely, Dave. The entire family made New Year's resolutions, and we've written them down, and we're holding each other accountable for them. And in fact, I'm going to do an entire program to help our listeners set up some goals for themselves in 2010. By the way, are you going with 2010 or 2010 or 2010?
2010. So
2010.
Far.
Okay, yeah. We're on the same page.
I still have a hard time writing it, though. I keep going zero, and then I stop, and I have to put the one before the zero. And
yeah, it's new.
Yeah, it is new, but it's great, and I like this. You know, the 2010. It's nice and even.
Feels kind of balanced. Yeah, all even numbers.
Well, you know, one of the top resolutions that people make every year is resolving to get on a budget. And we recently got a letter from one of our listeners in New Jersey, and she writes that my New Year's resolution is to get on a budget. But my husband doesn't understand why we need one. How should I get started?
That has to be one of the most common questions we get. People struggle with budgeting, and they especially struggle with getting on the same page about budgeting. And the simplest answer I can give for what's a really good reason to budget is this. If you budget, you know where your money is going. So you're able to spend on purpose. You're able to spend with a plan, and you know exactly where it's going. You have peace of mind. If you don't have a budget, you spend most of your time figuring out where it went. So you can make a choice. Do you want to know where it's going and live with peace? Or do you want to try to figure out where it went and live with the stress of that? So it's one's forward-looking and one is backward looking. And a budget helps you to be progressive, to look forward and to accomplish goals. And I think if you explain it to your husband in a way that he understands the benefits, then you can get on the same page. And you have to do it without attacking your husband. I understand why it's difficult for couples to get on the same page. We have a wonderful article on that topic at crown.org that goes into depth on how to get on the same page when it comes to your budget. And I think we need to talk about that more through the rest of this program.
Well, to find that article, go to crown.org and type "husband doesn't want to budget" in the search window at the top right-hand corner of the site, and it'll take you to that article. Also, if you'd like to ask Chuck a financial question or share a story with him, you can write him directly at chuckbentley@crown.org. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. This package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. With three colorful compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C, your kids will learn to give, save, and spend. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through a compelling story, simple Bible studies, and fun hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Help create the right financial habits in your children by investing in their future with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we are answering some of your questions today. And Chuck, just before the break, we were talking about budgeting and getting couples on the same page financially. And this issue is really on the minds of many of our listeners, especially as we start this new year. And we have another question from a listener who actually just wanted to remain anonymous. And they wrote, "I've been married for 20 years. My husband is self-employed and we have 5 children. I've always been in charge of our family's finances and they've been a stress for me to the point it has taken a toll on my health. We're fairly cash strapped and budgeting, although I believe it's the first step out of our dilemma, just seems to add to my stress and frustration. I've tried many times, but I never actually pull it off. I've cried and prayed for years about financial pressures and I really think I'm just supposed to ask for help.
Wow, that is so touching, Dave, and a question that I want to spend some time on, because many people are in that same dilemma. They've tried and tried and tried, and they feel like a miserable failure when it comes to pulling off something that requires discipline. In fact, I think if you did some careful research, you know, about 30% of the population say that their New Year's resolution is around money. It's around their financial health. I think many times it's the same 30%. In other words, they re-up year after year after year because they just can't seem to make it work. And what happens is, like, the average use of a new health club membership is only about 3 weeks. You know, many times you can look for used health equipment in the classified ads, and they're 3 weeks old. I mean, a person uses them for 3 weeks, they looked good on the TV ads, and then suddenly it just is not that much fun for you, so you quit. And that happens with New Year's resolutions, especially around money. By February or March, you're back to the same old habits. And this person is saying it's been that way for 20 years. But there is hope. And a couple of things I want to give you that I think will make the biggest difference is to first resolve that you're going to faithfully live one day at a time and stay within a spending plan every single day. But don't worry about the weeks and months and years. Simply take care of it one day at a time. And when you do one day at a time, that's how you begin to be successful. It's no different than working out, Dave. It's no different than restricting how much you eat. You have to live in the present. You have to do it today. So here's my recommendation. Go online, download a free budgeting form, fill it out, sit down with your husband, call a family meeting, call a private meeting, get away from the kids, go out to dinner and say, I've plugged in the numbers and I need your help so that we can be successful at this. It will reduce our stress. There's a celebration at the end of this. Pick something that you would really, really enjoy if you can be successful. And then at the end of the quarter, once you've done it for 3 months, you're going to see such a remarkable difference. You're going to be motivated to continue. Now, if you can't do it alone, if you're just so frustrated, you need help, there's two ways we can help you. Go online to crown.org again. Click on the Money Map Coach feature right there on the homepage. And we have trained volunteers who are standing by waiting to help you go through this process. It's totally anonymous. You won't be embarrassed. You'll find somebody there ready to encourage you who is very good at helping you get the budget together. And then they'll walk through this with you day by day. They'll be available to provide encouragement and support. Another way is to contact us and to set up an appointment to meet with one of the budget coaches in person. And that will help you get underway. You know, the verse that comes to my mind is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so there's a certain fear of the Lord that goes into changing your behavior. To say, Lord, I'm not being a good steward. I'm not being wise with what you've given us. I need your wisdom and discipline. And pray about that with your husband, and that will hopefully bring you on the same page. But stay in touch with us. I want to see how you're doing, because so many of you need to get this same process going, and that's what we're here for, Dave.
Well, once again, to get connected with an online money map coach, go to crown.org and scroll down to the bottom of that homepage, and you'll find a button that says chat now with a money map coach. Chuck, our next question comes from a listener in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she writes, how do I adjust my current budget now that my husband has retired and our health care premiums will now be over $1,000 a month?
Dave, that's another frequent question and one I want to give a little more in-depth answer to. The first solution is to change your health coverage to what we call a catastrophic plan, basically where you have very high deductibles and you only cover emergencies and catastrophic issues that may occur. That's one way to lower your premiums. So if you're an infrequent user of health coverage, I think that's a good option. I think that's an alternative. I've had to go that very route a few times in my past when I was self-employed, and it worked out really well. By God's grace, we weren't frequent users of the coverage, and God kept us very healthy. Another alternative to lower the cost to traditional health insurance that many Christians are choosing to participate in is called a medical sharing plan. And the idea is that you pull your resources together to share one another's burdens. And it is not insurance, but it's a plan that works for many people. And basically, it's a large group of Christians who commit to make regular monthly contributions to meet the needs of other members with medical expenses in the plan. And you pay somebody else every month to help them with their bills, and you make a request for help to pay your medical bills when your time comes. Now, typically, members must be Christians. They have to commit to abstain from tobacco, drugs, very limited alcohol consumption, and to not engage in immoral sexual activities. In addition, they're required to have their pastor attest to the fact that they attend church regularly and are living by biblical principles. So they try to qualify it to ensure that people are being honest with one another. Now, if you're interested in this kind of program, you need to do your own homework. There are lots of plans out there. Some of them have really good benefits and some of them don't. So when you look into a medical sharing plan, ask what's covered, what costs are not covered, how long does it take to be reimbursed, are there any pre-existing conditions that are not allowed, what are the monthly fees for prescription medicines, how certain is it that your medical costs are going to be recovered, and what possible problems might I encounter if I sign up for a medical sharing plan. Keep your current coverage intact until you've switched over completely to another one of these accounts. And then do your homework. There's a lot of other alternatives out there for health insurance, such as a health savings account. Their website is hsa.insider.com, ehealthinsurance.com, healthfinder.gov, insure.com. Lots of websites that'll give you information on alternatives to bring your health coverage costs down.
Well, all that information that Chuck just gave you is available at the related content section at crown.org on Money Life Radio. Just go to crown.org, Money Life Radio, and select related content for today's program. We'll take a short break and be right back to answer more of your questions.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we are answering your questions today. If you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can send it to chuckbentley@crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley, all one word, @crown.org. Chuck, here's our next question. I'm a 24-year-old who is currently pursuing an MBA in human resource management. Currently, I use my undergraduate degree in music education to teach private music lessons part-time while I'm in grad school full-time. I'm emailing to inquire about the best way to invest money now when I have a little extra and on into the future when I hopefully have a steady full-time job. I've heard your advice about diversification and other biblical principles, but I have a practical question. Is investing something I should keep up with myself or pay someone to do it for me? And that comes from Allison in Plano, Texas.
Well, I'm always delighted to hear from our Dallas listeners. We have a wonderful affiliate there, KCBI, and a station that I personally listen to when I used to live in Dallas. So great to hear from Allison. Allison, I think it's a wonderful question that you're asking, and one that my recommendation is that you do both. According to the scripture, we should always know the condition of our flocks, and that means that we maintain a level of accountability. So imagine that your investment is in sheep. Then you need to know what's going on with those sheep, even if you pay somebody else to be out there tending the sheep, that you have a responsibility to oversee what God's entrusted to you. Now, as a college student, I'd like to make some other recommendations to you. First of all, the best investment you can actually make is in your part-time business. Use your extra income to advertise, to set up your studio, or to get more students, whatever you need to do to ensure that that part-time income continues to come in. That's a great investment. The second really good decision with this surplus income is to create more savings. And that has nothing to do with diversification. You simply put money into a CD, a money market account. Be sure you don't deposit more in any one bank over the FDIC limits. And then after you've accomplished those two objectives with the extra money that you have, consider investing. Now, investing is a topic that you need to get educated on so that you understand the risk that you're taking. There's some great books out there to read, and if you're going to invest in mutual funds, we think Austin Prior's book, Sound Mind Investing, is an excellent place to get more knowledge about mutual funds. There's also lots of information at kingdomadvisors.org. and at Rusty Leonard's website, stewardshippartners.com. So get informed, even if you have enough resources to invite someone else as a professional financial planner to manage your resources for you, to manage your investments. You need to know what you're talking about and what they're talking about when they give you advice. But thanks for writing, thanks for listening, and let us know how it's going for you.
Well, the next question is from another college student, and Miriam in Cedarville, Ohio writes, I'm a sophomore at Cedarville University, and I've made it my goal to graduate debt-free. Thus far, through savings, investments, scholarships, grants, working, and help from my parents, I've been able to avoid all student loans. However, I have very little money left over for my final 2 years. My parents have 5 younger children to provide for, so I don't want to ask them to keep helping me. Scholarships are hard to come by, and I've made a resolution to tithe a little more than 10% out of my salaries. I don't have a car or use credit cards. Do you have any suggestions for how I can stay debt-free?
Wow, what a great question.
Yeah.
I hope every parent who's heard this is inspired that you don't have to immediately assume that debt is the only way to go. And thank you, Miriam, for your incredible commitment to do the right thing. And you're doing extremely well. And I just want to encourage you to stick to your guns. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you've listed all the possible ways and you're doing the right thing. You're trying to save money. You're looking for scholarships. You're looking for grants. You're working part-time. You're not expecting other people to help you get through this. You're looking to the Lord. You're being faithful to the Lord. There are some places you can go to continue to search for more scholarship opportunities. And Miriam, we've got a list of all of those websites that are available on crown.org. They're too numerous to list here. But the main point is continue what you're doing and look to the Lord to provide. He will be faithful. Just don't give in to the pressure to start borrowing money. And if he doesn't provide, that's also an answer as well. God may be telling you to ratchet down the cost of your college education, but don't give in and get into a lot of debt to get your degree.
You know, Chuck, I have several friends whose children are in a similar situation, and several of them have opted to take a semester or an entire year off in order to work and get the funds so they can go back to school and stay out of debt. And that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but when you look at the long term, taking 6 months or a year to not incur that debt is a very wise price to pay.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, Cedarville is a great university, and they're wonderful friends of ours. Mm-hmm. They use the Career Direct assessment tool to help their students get on the right path from the very beginning in pursuing their education. And I know that anything a student can do to avoid financial bondage, they will be in favor of as well.
Well, for all the information we're giving you today, you can find that at crown.org/radio. And then click on the related content for today's program. The next question comes from CG in Harrison, Arkansas, and he wants to know, if you have debts that are over 7 years old and still show up on your credit report, should you make an attempt to pay them off or hope they will disappear from the report on their own?
Well, imagine that I owed you that money and I hadn't paid you for 7 years and they were about to rotate off my credit report. Would you want me to continue to try to pay you back or just not worry about it because they weren't on my credit report anymore? I mean, if you put yourself in the shoes of the lender, obviously, they expect you to repay. And biblically, we're required to repay. Psalm 37:21 says, a person who borrows and does not repay is called wicked. People will not appreciate it. So honor the Lord, walk with integrity, pay off that debt.
We'll have more answers to your questions right after this. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Has your child outgrown a piggy bank but not yet ready for a credit card? Well, there's something in between, a practical tool for anyone that you can use to teach teenagers and college students how to handle money wisely before they face greater financial decisions. It's the Cash Organizer from Crown Financial Ministries. The Cash Organizer is a durable, expanding file that's not much bigger than a checkbook. It's designed to create a convenient way to practice envelope budgeting, the proven way to keep from spending more than you make. With the Cash Organizer, when an envelope is empty, you can't spend any more money until you earn more money. It'll not only help your teenager or college student take control of their cash, but will also develop money management habits that'll prepare them for a lifetime. You can order the Cash Organizer online at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, let's try and answer a few more questions before we run out of time for today. This next question comes from Robert in Montgomery, Texas. By the way, do you know where Montgomery, Texas is?
I do. It's just north of Houston.
Okay.
Great area.
And he writes, I retired about 3 years ago and have money in a retirement fund that guarantees a minimum of 3% with a maximum of 7%. I'm considering taking some of it out and investing it in an annuity. Is that a good idea?
Well, there's a lot of people that would like to know where you're getting that 3% minimum. There are many people whose investments are not even doing that. But when you ask about annuities, we're certainly not against them. But in today's environment, you need to be really, really careful. You need to be sure that the company that's providing the annuity is in a strong financial condition. If they're not, your investment could be in jeopardy. We have a good friend of the ministry that had a very large annuity through AIG. And no one would have ever thought that it was on the brink of failure. But because the government rescued AIG, his assets are fine, and they're continuing to pay on his annuity. But be very careful. Do a lot of research. They're complex. I've done some research on them myself, and sometimes they're more complex than I personally can even understand. So be careful, and don't make that move unless you're sure that it's a really good, strong, viable company.
Chuck, Lori in Normal, Illinois writes that we have $50,000 left to pay on our mortgage over the next 9 years, but we have a little extra money right now. Would you recommend that we make extra payments toward the principal or not?
Absolutely. I would encourage you to prepay your mortgage whenever possible. Just imagine this. If you've got a 5, 6, 7% mortgage, that's the best rate of return that you can get right now. It's probably better than any other place that you could put it in a passive investment. So pay down your mortgage. That's always a great idea. I've never met anybody who paid off their mortgage and regretted it. We have a great tool online at crown.org called the Mortgage Prepayment Calculator, and that will give you some idea of how many months that it will take you to pay off that loan. And to all of our listeners, in 2010, in this new year, I couldn't encourage our listeners more in this new year, in 2010, to pay off all the debt that you possibly can this year, because we've got tough times ahead. And by the way, I want to thank all of our listeners who responded to our transformation challenge in 2009. So far, the returns look really good and encouraging, and I appreciate your confidence in us, and we look forward to going through this year together, serving the Lord, and I am so appreciative of your help allowing us to go through this year together, serving the Lord, and equipping His people.
Well, as we wrap up, remember, if you would like to ask Chuck a question, you can write him directly at chuckbentley@crown.org. And all the information from today's program is available to you by going to crown.org/radio and then clicking on the related content button. Well, for Chuck and the entire staff, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.